Welcome back to the podcast. I'm Jamie Baines. Today's guest is Faye Knightley of the Sisterhood of the Black Pen. I met Faye through one of this podcast's favorite people, Gloria Lucas. Faye sent me a message through Instagram and said that she'd like to talk about her writer's group, the Sisterhood of the Black Pen. Obviously, I said yes, because everyone knows that writers are some of my favorite people. So here she is. Sit back, relax, and let me know what you think of our conversation. And welcome back to the podcast. Today's guest is Faye Knightley of the Sisterhood of the Black Pen. How are you, Faye?
Good, thanks.
Good. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I am the co-founder and co-producer at the Sisterhood of the Black Pen, where we produce horror anthologies regularly and do open submissions for indie authors.
Now, how did you get started doing that?
I got started doing that because I was running a writing group at the time, and I just realized we had like quite a lot of talent and everyone was kind of doing their own thing. But it would be easy to get everybody together to work on one project. And so I had this idea that let's do an anthology as a group. And that kind of developed into our first anthology, which was a Christmas horror anthology, if you can believe that.
And so when did you start this?
That was a couple of years ago. It was a very collaborative process. Everybody paid in to the editing costs and the marketing costs, and we really did it as a group. And from there, it's kind of devolved into its own creature, where I've now partnered with somebody, and we've produced our most recent anthology. So we're the ones who have paid for everything, and we were able to pay our authors and help them to refine their stories a lot more than in the first anthology, where everyone kind of just submitted their work and, you know, we talked about it, but it wasn't the same kind of involvement. And so it's been a really cool project.
And it sounds cool. And can you give me a little background? Because a lot of my listeners, and me included, might not necessarily know what an anthology is. I'm sure we've all seen it, kind of heard of it, but can you explain to us what an anthology is?
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's just basically a collection of short stories. So what I was saying is that we were a writing group, and so everybody wrote a short story, and we produced a book together as a writing group.
And is there a common thread in all the stories, or are they all individual stories with a certain genre?
Yeah, so the Sisterhood of the Black Pen does horror anthologies. And so our theme for the first anthology was Christmas and holidays. So we had everybody write on that theme and submit their short stories to us.
And how short are the stories? Like a general idea, would you say? Page-wise or word count or however you kind of determine it?
Yeah, we do it by word count usually. So it's like 3,000 to 5,000 words. With the newer anthology, we allowed a little more meatier pieces. So we did more like around 7,000 words. I know my story in there was 9,000 words, so went like a little bit over. I think it was the longest one, but it's sort of like there's a common thread in that it's the holiday, and we're kind of continuing on that trend and probably going to do another holiday next. I know we have plans to do another Christmassy one because that one was really fun to do. It's a fun theme to have everyone write on and not something that's done a lot.
No.
Kind of handy that way.
I think it's a very cool idea because you see the movies like Bad Santa and stuff like that. And occasionally you'll see like maybe a horror Christmas type movie come out. I can't say that I've seen many kind of horror type Christmas, you know, books or stories or anything like that.
Yeah. I mean, only Krampus by an author named Brom comes to mind for me. It's not terribly done. And I think it's because it's such a cozy time of year. And it's less likely to attract people to horror genre. Whereas Halloween really, it just fits perfectly with horror. So we've had a lot of fun doing that this time around too, is focusing on the Halloween holiday. But I'm sure we're going to do Valentine's Day. I feel it. I feel it coming. I'm sure we'll do that one.
And so how many...
We'll do Thanksgiving.
How many anthologies are out? Is it just the one? Are you working on the second one? Or how many do you have?
We have two anthologies. So we have Twisted Tales of Holiday Horror, which is our Christmas one. And then our recent anthology, which released in September, is called Twisted Tales of Halloween Horror.
Very, very cool. Can you give like a synopsis maybe of one of the Christmas horror tales so people kind of know what to expect? Is it, and again, I'm coming to this with totally fresh eyes. Like, is it gory? Is it like suspenseful? I'm sure there are different stories out there in the anthology. I was just curious. I'm definitely going to pick it up and check it out just so you know, because I think it sounds awesome.
Thanks. It turned out really cool. Let's see. So there was a Polar Express retelling, but the Polar Express was run by vampires who were taking the children to a very evil vampire Santa. So that was one.
Very, very nice. Very nice.
There's one where a child is gifted dolls every year, and they're very realistic dolls. And that's really all you need to know about that one without spoiling anything. But that's a freaky one. Mine was sort of like my contribution in that anthology was sort of like a Grinch type character, but also Santa. So he just is like a Santa imposter, where he's like the real Santa, but it's an evil creature who goes around and tries to get into kids' houses, and he needs an invitation like a vampire to get in. So he needs the invitation from the child, and that only happens if the child is a believer. So if they believe in Santa, they like are subconsciously extending this invitation to invite him into their home, and then he comes in and like eats some of their life essence.
So. These sound fantastic, and just because it seems like it takes so much more imagination to come up with these twisted tales on kind of old holiday favorites. Are they fun to do? Do all your authors have fun doing them?
Oh, I think we have a lot of fun doing them. Not everybody writes horror within our group either. So it's like to do the horror shorts is a unique thing for some people. And then you get to kind of have fun with the holiday as well. It kind of spoiled Christmas for me that year, though, I have to say.
why did it spoil Christmas?
For me, because I have three little kids, and so my story with the believers and the invitation to this evil Santa and stealing their life essence, I was like, oh God, no, children, don't believe in Santa.
How old are your children?
Well, now they are almost 4, almost 6, and 9.
Okay, so do they have any idea what mom does with the anthology and what she is doing to some of their Christmas stories yet?
Yeah, I mean, they're not allowed to read these books. They are not allowed. It is not going to be allowed for some time now. But they know that I've produced these two anthologies, and I've written my own books under my author name. They do know. My son's little friend, she came over and she was like, I heard you did a Halloween book. And so I had to run and get this book. Of course, she didn't ask to see it, but you know, you can't resist when someone says, you read a Halloween book. And I'm like, look, it has a pumpkin on the cover. And there's a witch and a doll. And I designed the cover, so I'm very in love with the cover that we did.
And so you said, but you're an author as well of not just short stories. Do you write lengthwise novels as well?
Yes, I do. I write more dark fantasy myself. I'm a scaredy cat and have always been that way as a fearful child. And so I love horror. I like watching horror movies and reading horror books. But to live in the horror world for a full-length novel is something I can do. It's such an immersive process when you're writing something as opposed to just consuming it. But I've written horror shorts for the anthologies, but nothing full-length in the horror genre. Uh-huh. My work is more dark fantasy, Dune meets Game of Thrones type stuff.
Would you ever go to the full-length horror novel? I know you said it's a scary world to live in when you're writing it. Is that something you could see yourself doing down the road, or maybe not?
Honestly, maybe. We just did an audience participation thing on our Sisterhood of the Black Pen socials where we had everybody name the least scary animal they could think of, and we're writing a short story on that. as just, you know, to get everyone kind of involved in the whole process. And it's fun for us to twist things. Like, our whole thing is we do a twist on something and make it scary. So I've been kind of into that story. It's been cool. It's this little girl whose mother had passed away a couple months ago, and she wants an axolotl for her birthday, which was the animal that somebody chose. An axolotl is like a cute, not scary animal. But it turns out that there's this whole thing where there was a Mexican god named Zlotl who hid himself in salamander form, and that's where the name axolotl comes from. So I discovered this in my research, and I'm like, well, this gives me a lot of material. He's a twin god. He's of disease and famine, and he's known as like the underworld god. And so I'm just having fun with that right now. And I'm like, I could see this developing into something more, but I'm somebody who tends to have a lot of projects on the go, and I want to do all the things, all the things. I want to write that whole, that out as a novel. And my contribution to Twisted Tales of Halloween Horror, I absolutely want to expand on. So I don't know. I absolutely might see a full-length horror novel from me in the future. The one I wrote for the current anthology was 9,000 words, which is pretty long for a short story.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost a novella length, which is a short book. That's around 15,000 words. You start calling it a short book, which is a novella.
Is it hard to kind of throttle back your writing to say, okay, I need to go this certain length? I mean, is it different for you to write the smaller, shorter stories than the novel? Do you have to kind of condense it better? What's your writing process?
Yeah, so I don't know. For me, for short stories, it can be hard to fit into the word count, mm-hmm. which is probably why mine's the longest story in this current collection. But I just try and think of, you know, like, how involved can I make this story, and what are the bones of the story? Because you don't have a lot of space to really talk too much about it. I listened to a masterclass from Neil Gaiman, who's a very renowned author, and he basically said for short stories, he recommends jump either starting at the very beginning and giving the first couple of chapters of a book, or jumping right into the action and giving, like, you assume that there's this big history to it, and so you're thrown into the middle. And I kind of like that approach. I thought that approach is fun for me. You're jumping into a story and you kind of feel that there's this history to it, and it gives you more to work with in terms of there being this background.
Is it harder for you to write like that?
No, it's really fun. It's very fun. My brain is very story wired. So I did a lot of developmental editing too with the authors on Twisted Tales of Halloween Horror, and it's just I just see it really clearly in my head, and I'm like, this would help the story, like this detail could be like a little strength and a little more impactful here with more gore, and then you know, I'm happier with it at the end of that. But yeah, my brain just kind of comes, I say, like, my brain, like, it's a separate thing, but sometimes it feels that way because my brain just goes off on a tangent, like the axolotl story. I was writing on it, and then, you know, I was done the part one that we posted up on our socials, and I was walking to pick up my kids from school, and my brain was like, and then the next scene is going to be her eating her dinner, and she's not eating very much because she's being poisoned by the axolotl, and, like, this is how the scene is going to play out. So it actually can be more hard to turn it off when you're in that writing mode.
And how
I think
do you...
it's pretty common.
How do you remember it all? I'm sure you have a lot of details. Do you have to write stuff down, or does your brain just kind of store it? And it's like, hey, I'll remember that. I'll remember that. I'll remember that.
Yeah, well, it's sort of like a movie, but with feelings in my head. So you have those feelings and like the emotion of the scene, not necessarily the character, but just like the mood of the scene. And so those things really stick in my head, if not the exact details. Some wording, yeah, but yeah, I have no problem just kind of like replaying things in my brain like a movie. That's kind of how I always was. I had a number of stories in my head, and if I was bored, I would just call one up to replay it. But I would have trouble sleeping. Here we go.
Here we go.
You know, entertainment.
Start it playing.
Replay.
Well, how?
And you can revisit. I don't know. I revisit stories that I love that way. it sort of started for me as a kid when I didn't like the ending of a movie, and so I would rewrite it in my head to be something more appealing.
it's very cool, very creative.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. I mean, good job, brain. I guess it feels like this independent entity of me, but yeah, so that's kind of how it goes with writing process. For the larger pieces, the writing process is very similar, but the editing process is a lot more complicated. And I find that that's the way for most authors as well. So one thing we're trying to do with the anthologies is to support new authors through the publication process. So a lot of our authors, it was one of their first, if not their first publication.
Mm-hmm.
And we did all that developmental editing, and, you know, we did the cover art. So we did a lot of the things. We hand-holded them kind of through the process. And it's a lot easier to edit something that's 5,000 words
mm-hmm.
with support than it is to edit a novel that's 100,000 words.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You can just go through it so many times. You can make sure it's perfect. But that's just an easier beast to tackle as an earlier project point. So it's a really good way for indie authors to start out is with anthologies and being a part of a team environment and learning the ropes of publication and marketing and author bios, which everybody includes an author bio. And some people didn't have that yet because it's their first publication. So we explained about those. So there's like a lot of things that go into
yeah.
the publishing process. And it can be very intimidating for people starting out, because they have to figure all that out on their own.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you're part of a project like this, where it's a team effort, then we're helping to figure it out with them. We're supporting them. And then hopefully the hope is that they're going to take these skills and apply them to another writing project, because we do open submissions now outside of our writing group, where originally we started just within a small circle of friends. We're doing these open submissions so we can find like the best voices of the new authors. So like the strongest voices, we can be choosy on who we're including.
And do the authors that you assist with their stories and their editing, do they ever get offended at what you suggest? Because, you know, for a lot of authors, that's kind of their baby. That's the way they want to see it. Are you guys necessarily changing storylines at all? I know you said you'll add stuff to it. I was just curious if they get, you know, they kind of get bent out of shape about it, or they're pretty open to any kind of help you want to give them.
It's always really hard when you're refining an idea. And we just kind of are learning still how to be sensitive to that, because the last thing we want to do is take the author's voice.
Sure.
We're just trying to sort of emphasize their voice, but we do have feedback. So, yeah, I mean, there's always some stages in the feedback. At one point, we basically made a blanket statement to everyone, and we said, you know, I know feedback is harsh, and critical feedback is really difficult to take,
mm-hmm.
especially on something vulnerable like your art.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But we love the stories. So the message to everybody was basically, this is going to be a process. It's going to be difficult going through these things with your editors, but just remember that, you know, it's coming from a really good place. We're going to make these stories really shine because we love them. And I think that makes the feedback kind of easier to accept, at least for me as an author, when I know my readers and my editors have those best interests at heart. It kind of makes me change my perspective on the critical feedback. If I'm like, oh, well, they're saying this because they're trying to make it.
That's a really
better.
Good point. I think that's a really good way to do it, to kind of, you know, kind of soothe people down, and just so they know it's coming from a good place.
Yeah, and it's all about always making it stronger and better. It's not that it's not good to start,
mm-hmm.
But you could edit endlessly. Like I myself could edit my own work endlessly. And just never stop. because you can always change something to make it just a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
And every time you read it, you have fresh eyes. And so you could always be changing it. So it's about making it better, stronger, you know, a little more impactful here or there. But it's important that they know, and that you know, if you're the one accepting feedback, that the goal is to make it better or stronger, that not that it's not strong and really good the way it is at the start.
Yeah, and that can be, I mean, criticism can be hard to take because a lot of times it can feel like an insult or you're putting yourself higher than them. But I really like the way you put that and the way that you do that.
I tell myself, it's a way that I've had to kind of reframe and think about the feedback and go through my own editing process with readers and stuff to feel comfortable with it and to acknowledge that feedback, because feedback is really important for writers when they're going through their stories. They kind of, and this is me as well, like you're in your mode, you're in your world, and you have a very clear idea of how you want it to come across. But the reader doesn't have that clear idea, and so you're really trying to figure out, is your vision coming across to them or not?
Yeah.
And only the reader can tell you that.
Right. No, you're absolutely right. Because you can read your own work and think it's great, but then you let somebody, again, with somebody with fresh eyes and are not inside of you, read it, and they're like, maybe not so much.
And how such is that too? It's I didn't understand this, or I didn't get what you were trying to do here. And as the writer, you have to be like, oh, it's not coming across the way it should. And how can I revisit that? So readers are like a really critical stage of editing for everybody. Again, the short stories just make it a little bit easier to have like a smaller piece to work on. And also for indie authors, if you're just starting out with publishing and you're trying to get that reader feedback, it's a lot easier to convince family, friends, other authors to read like a 5,000 word story than it is to convince them to read like a 100,000 word novel.
Sure, absolutely.
Give you all the feedback, right? So you can kind of build on that short story, those skills you're getting from the short story in terms of editing that and apply it to a longer piece. And then you're going to be, you know, you've trained up on that whole process. You know what to expect. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot less challenging to navigate.
Do you give your contributors a deadline of when they need to have the work into you by for the anthology to be published?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we had a number of different timelines, actually, because we accepted our submissions, and then we gave everybody an initial round of feedback. And that's even people who were not accepted into the anthology, because our goal is to be helpful to indie authors. We want to still give them that feedback, right? So even if we weren't accepting of the story, maybe that will help them in their process for next time. But yeah, so they had that initial round of feedback from us. And then we worked with them on that feedback in a developmental editing phase for a couple of weeks, just going back and forth and commenting back and forth and discussing the feedback, seeing if the author agrees or not. And if not, then that's fine. But if so, how can we change that? How can we make it stronger or whatever the concern was, or more clear? Again, sometimes it's just that things are confusing, right?
Mm-hmm. How many,
so lots of deadlines, and then we also had a copy line editor, so there's this developmental feedback stage with the feedback based on the story, and, like, how can we make this a little stronger, and then we had a professional copy line editor who does, like, the grammar details and things like that.
How long does it take to put an anthology together from your very start, where you start taking the submissions to when you're ready to go with it?
Oh, man, probably like 8 months.
Wow, no kidding.
And we want a tight timeline. We actually, because we're a newer group, we didn't get as many submissions as we wanted. We wanted to be able to be choosy with who we accepted.
Mm-hmm.
So we extended our submissions deadline, and we extended our submissions deadline just so we were able to, you know, pick the best stories to represent in our anthology. And then that put us on, like, a little bit of a tighter timeline, but it's been a lot of work, but then the book is really cool, and it's gotten fantastic reviews. People have been just loving it. So it's done really well, and I think that really shows the amount of effort we put in. We also did a lot of custom artwork inside, so there was that component as well that my co-producer and I, my partner, we're both very artistic, and so we, and perfectionists. We had to add all these little each story has its own title page. We also did, each story has an introduction. So the author wrote an introduction, which was a separate little piece we asked everybody to include. And that was done to sort of like set the stage. So I guess for people who don't know what an anthology is, it's a collection of short stories, but not everybody does this. So a lot of times it's just, here's a story. Okay, here's another story. Okay, here's another story. But we really wanted each story to be its own thing and its own mood. So we had each author write a little introduction to kind of like set the stage mm-hmm. and be like a palate cleanser from the previous story.
Mm-hmm. Very good. And then we also very well. I like it.
A palate cleanser.
Yeah.
And we also did a little bit of like title page art. So it's like books within a book almost, but short, right? Like it's a short, not a full length story at all.
And will you have the same authors in each anthology, or are you looking for different ones each time?
So we had, I think, four of us from the first one were in this one as well, but definitely not the same people. And again, you know, we'll be doing an open call. So it's whoever wants to submit can submit. If we had the same people submitting, you know, they would be going through that same process with us as selection, and we would be choosy as to who we're picking. Not every story is a winner.
Right. That might be the title
but,
for
I
this
mean,
episode.
We would love to see people back because we love our authors. We've been a fantastic team this time around. So I think we'd love to see our authors applying again and see them again and keep track of where they are in their author goals too. Because, you know, like I said, it's been really exciting to see some of these people that are doing this is their first publication, and we got to have a role in that.
And how large is the writing group that you're in? Because if I miss it, I'm sorry. You have your open submissions, or all your submissions from your writing group, or it goes outside your writing group as well?
Outside, we're open to any indie author who's sort of looking to get into publication. We prefer newer writers just because we are kind of focused on helping the newer writers mm-hmm. to get their voices heard. But yeah. We're open to anybody. Initially, our very first anthology wasn't really quite, you know, where we're headed with this. So our first anthology was sort of like testing the waters, and we did it as very much a collaborative group, whereas now we're more of an organization, an anthology organization, where it's my partner and I who head this organization, and we regularly produce these anthologies.
It sounds like it's a lot of work, but you sure do sound like you're having fun doing it.
It's a lot of work, and it is really fun. It's been cool because it's spooky season, right? And people are just kind of crazy for this stuff, and that's the right time of year, honestly, to be putting out a Halloween or a horror anthology. So it's been exciting to see how far it's come and to see the finished product. We just submitted it to be in hardcover, so we're going to have a hardcover version, which is pretty exciting. And, yeah. Yeah, it's been cool. It's been a fantastic thing to be a part of. I'm really proud of this book baby that we did. And
well, you know, the whole podcast is about, you know, good news and good positive vibes, and you got that like in spades. It's crazy. And most people think, oh, horror writer is this or horror is that. You're going to be some, you know, mopey, depressed. But it doesn't seem like that's the case at all with you or the authors who do it. I mean, so there's definitely a maybe misunderstood aspect to maybe horror writers or anthology writers. Because you sure seem happy and positive and just having a blast, which I love hearing about it.
Thanks. Yeah, no, I think we are all pretty cheerful. I'm very serious in my work, so even though I'm sort of this quirky person in real life, and I crack a lot of jokes in my work, I'm sort of like dead serious. So, haha, dead serious.
Well, I think it's fantastic. Where do people go to find you? What, if they want to find your anthology, if they want to find you, your website, where are people going to go to do it?
It's just the socials right now. So we are on Instagram and TikTok. We're more active on TikTok. So that's the Sisterhood of Black Pen on TikTok. You'll find that Axolotl story started on there, the one that I'm sort of dreaming in my head might become a bigger deal. But and that just came from audience participation, which I like we do. It's been really fun to do that. We did a haunted hairbrush as well. It was like, what's the least scary object you could think of in your house? And so we had people contribute least scary objects, and the one we chose to write about was a hairbrush.
That is so cool. I mean, that's hairbrush. You know, that it's that creative spark, I think, that is just, I don't know, it seems like in a lot of stuff it's lacking, but from what you're talking about, like with authors doing that, it just seems like it's fun. It gets your brain moving and rolling, and just creativity is just just amazing, I think.
Thank you. Yeah, it's really fun to just be given a prompt or something like that, and it's like, ooh, a challenge. So your brain starts turning away. And it's really, you know, we're issuing a challenge. Can you think of something that will stump us to our audience in that case?
Well,
and of course, we're going to twist it and make it
even better. Yeah, I love it. I love it. Well, Faye, thank you very much for coming on. I hope to have you back on there, and we'll talk some more. And because you just cracked me up, and I think I just want to pick your brain with all the creative stuff you got going on. So will you come back and talk to us again?
Absolutely. And I could tell you all about my dark fantasy book that's coming out next year. So
we can do
my first full-length piece next year.
Do you know what it's called yet?
Yes, it's called When the Stars Whisper, and it's a Lion King-inspired dark fantasy. It's kind of like Dune, the movie Dune, the book Dune, meets Game of Thrones. So it's pretty epic. It's pretty involved. I'm very excited about it. But I have been very busy with this anthology, so I actually end up,
And what's it called again?
Too much about that one.
No. What's the title again? You broke up just a little bit. I want to make sure I get the title right.
Yes. When the Stars Whisper.
When the Stars Whisper.
Yeah. It's a society that worships the stars, and the stars, the sky brightened one night, and the stars spoke to this kingdom of mostly humans, where they had some lion shifters, but they'd hunted them to extinction, near extinction. And the stars told them that a lion shifter needed to be the ruler. And so somebody rose up and became the king of the land, basically.
Well, you need to come back and tell us about that and about the process, and then catch us up on everything else going on, too.
Absolutely. I would be happy to reappear.
Well, thank you very much, Faye. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, it was great chatting with you.
Yep, you take care of yourself.
You too.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
That's it, guys. What'd you think of Faye? I'll be the first to admit that I've never read an anthology, nor have I read much horror. Recently, that is. When I started reading fiction novels, I was devouring King, Kuntz, and other horror-ish authors. As I got older, I started reading more in the thriller genre and historical nonfiction. But after chatting with Faye, I'm going to pick up the first anthology and see how her contributing authors handle some horror around the holidays. So until next time, take care of one another, and thanks for listening.